And see, what happens is when you're not having church, see, a preacher, he runs over, he's spending time with the coach. See, Jesus is the coach. And our team is called the Glory Bound Saints. How many know you're on that team? Say amen. And see, that Bible, the book, is a playbook. I remember some years ago, I used to coach Little League football about 10 years. I was over helping little boys at the boys' club. And I remember I called a play, and I went out and told the little boys, called that play, and I said, now, run this play. Well, the defense ran my play, and they blitzed the linebacker, and before we can even have boy, get the ball off of the quarterback. They hit him, and the ball went one way, and they fumbled, and they turned it around the other direction. And we lost the game because I called the wrong play. But that book that you got in your hand, every play in that book is going to score a touchdown. God ain't never put a promise in the Word of God that won't score a touchdown. If it would not score a touchdown, he'll never put it in the book. Am I right about it? But see, your preacher has to run over and talk to the coach. And the coach will tell him, I said, now, coach, what you want me play you want called this week? And God will give him the play. And then they run back to the pulpit and say, open your Bibles. Open your playbook. And then he'll start giving you the play. And I promise you, if you grab what God said and run with it, you'll score a touchdown every single time. I don't care what you're facing, what you're going through. Oh, a God's plays call a touchdown. Am I right about it? Now, so if I call your class, you understand why. Watch this now. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you are taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. I want to ask a question this morning. Really, I want to speak from my heart to you, especially you young people and adults alike. But it's a question that you've asked yourself thousands of times. And I believe that somebody it's going to get the answer to the question that you wanted a long time. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Why is all this happening to me? You ever ask yourself the question? Why is all this happening to me? Somebody going to get free today. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your grace, for your power, your anointing that's in this house. Lord, there's so many preachers can preach circles around me, and I know this, and I don't take it for granted that you allowed me to stand behind this sacred desk. Thank you for Brother Stewart. Thank you for his wife and for Gateway. And Father, as I've traveled this nation, I've said it over and over and over again, I don't know a man of God on this planet that you have endowed with more grace and graciousness as this man of God, that's the pastor of this house. So, Father, I beg you for the glory of God. Lord, keep him strong. Lord, keep him healthy. Add years to his life. Do the same for his wife and his family. Lord God, I pray this morning all over this house for these few moments that we have together. Help me to answer. You answer the question in somebody's mind. And everything you do will praise you and thank you and give you all of the glory. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to begin by saying, I know that many of you, you don't understand, but the devil wants you young people and adults alike how to spend your life with a big question mark. And he wants you to live and die with that question never have been answered. But this morning, I serve a God that does not want you to die. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And the devil wants you to die. but Jesus wants you to live. Am I right about that? And so I want you to understand, has been a many times, I know growing up in my life, I grew up in a single parent home. I never sat down one time and had a meal with my father. I never one time, the closest ever came to my daddy. As my daddy had a brain tumor right through his brain, a cancerous tumor. And by his bedside, God gave me the privilege, had to lead him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I said, man, I can spend time with you down here. But when I get to the other side, I will spend eternity together. I'm thankful and grateful that God saved somebody like me. I deserve to go to hell. I was a mess that God made a miracle out of. I don't take no glory for myself, but I give God all of the glory. I remember as I grew up, that's like many of you, I used to run, ask myself the question. I said, wonder why I don't have a daddy. Wonder why we growed up poor. And we grew up in an old house. You can see the outside from the inside. And boy, no insulation. I couldn't figure out. It seemed like we had the coldest winters I've ever seen in my life. Seemed like we had the hottest summers. But what it was, we didn't have no insulation in the house. I didn't know it. I didn't know. You know, sometimes you can be poor and not even know that you're poor. But we were so poor that the poor folks call us poor. That's when you're poor. Amen. But listen to me. I wondered, like many of you this morning, and you've asked yourself the question, why did my mom and daddy have to depart? Why did my mom and daddy have to divorce? Why I grow up without a mama? Why did my mom and daddy? Why did I lose my this job? Why did my marriage fall apart? Why I have to have this disease? Why am I going through this problem? Why did I face this? And a big old question mark. Rest in your mind. But this morning, that's somebody in the house that's going to get set free. I want you to understand this morning that there is something, I've never seen this in the word of God, that God revealed to me. He said, son, in our text, he said, I want you to know that the determinate cancer and the foreknowledge of God. Well, who is the determinate cancer? That's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And what is the foreknowledge of God? It's God seeing in the future before it ever happens. Watch this now. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and notice verse number 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and verse number 4. Oh God, I feel a breath. Take it easy, boy. Stay in the road. Watch this now. Now, watch this. The Bible said in verse 3, it said, blessed have been God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me stop and say something right here. And you know that a lot of people have jumped off of bridges and killed themselves because they lost their job, lost their house, lost their car, lost their position. But I stopped by to tell you this morning. And people look at you and see what you got. And they say, I know Brother Stewart is blessed. How she got this car. How she got this house. But Brother Stewart is not blessed because of what he has. He's blessed because the blessing is not in the stuff, but the blessing is on him. And when you got the blessing on you, then God will give you some stuff. So if you lose what you got, don't jump off a bridge and kill yourself. Realize God can give you some more stuff because the blessing ain't the stuff. You didn't get the stuff to be blessed. You were blessed. That's why you got the stuff. Am I right about it? Come here. Come here. Look at verse 4. According as he have chosen us in him. When did he do it, class? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now notice something. I don't want to go over your head But I told the folks at New Life, see, what I've tried to do with our people, I've tried to empower them. See, I don't want them, you know, when a little child is learning how to ride a bike, and what you do, you have training wheels. And then you take the training wheels off and you hold them up and they fall. But the goal is not to spend your whole life trying to hold them up, but you want them to learn how to ride on their own. I don't want to spend my whole life trying to hold everybody up. I'm going to teach you how to ride and walk with God on your own. And so when Brother Steele is gone and when I'm not there no more, God will be the same yesterday and today and forever. He will never change. Am I right about it? So this morning, I don't want to go over your head, but I'm going to try to put it where you can get this. Now, I know God. Give me a bunch, about 60 of y'all up here. 60. I don't care who it is, just come help me. You've got to see this thing. You got to get this. You can't get free if you don't get lined up in a single file. Let me show you something. Y'all stand right there for just a moment. Y'all come over here. Yeah, that's fine. Just come on. Y'all just line up right here. I got to show you something. Now notice something. I know. You see, some of you this morning, I want you to understand that many of you have been hurt and you got a big old question in your mind. And because you've been hurt, some of you have been abused, some of you have been abandoned, some of you have been talked about, some of you have been forsaken, some of you have been molested, some of you have been raped, and you've been through some horrific things. And you ask yourself, why will something like this happen to me? But I want you to understand, but there are all that the devil has thrown at you for evil, and God is about to turn it around for his good and for your good and his glory. And watch this, class. Now watch this. So what happened is this. You see, if you notice our text, the Bible said you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now watch this. You see, you thought that you met this Jesus, whatever, October the 9th, 1978, that's when I got saved. But in the mind of God, I was always that determined cancer. I looked down and said, I need somebody. I need somebody that's going to be without a daddy. I grew up poor. We need somebody like that in the kingdom. And God looked down and said, there's a young man by the name of Steele. And said, I got that situation. That's not the way God wanted my life to be. But because he's God, he already knows how your life going to be. Because he's the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last, and everything in between. God in his foreknowledge. So I know a young man that's got, see, watch this. See, people don't understand why when they meet you. See, this is me, but all of this is on the inside of me. That's why I want you to know, first of all, if you're taking notes, I want you to understand, number one, God wants to answer your question. But let me say number two, I want you to understand that people don't know who they're meeting and when they meet you. I see on the inside of me has so much hurt and so much pain and so many heartaches. I got all this stuff on the inside of me. And stuff. You see people on your job and your neighborhood that blow their whole family's brains out. And you say, I couldn't believe that Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so would do such a thing. What you didn't see beneath the surface that you saw on the outside was all this stuff that person has been through. And it don't take but one thing to tick them off. And when they tick them off, all this stuff comes to the surface, and all that rage comes on the outside. And before you listen, can I have this? Well, let me get another. This is cutting in now. Oh man, watch this. All right. You can kill. Listen, let me go crazy. It's all right. Everything's all right in the Father's house. Now, I'm trying to take you somewhere. Now, I want you to get this. Now, all this stuff, that's why you see people that kill their families. That's why you see mothers that are drowning their babies. Why? Because there's stuff on the inside that you can't see from the outside. And when something triggers their mind, all that's in the inside come rushing to the surface, and they do stuff before you know it. And listen, and you and I were the same way before we met the King of Glory. But God, in his foreknowledge, looks down and sees a person with all this stuff. That was my life right here. But 31 years ago, Jesus stepped right in the middle of all this junk that I had going on. And God said, I'm going to take the stuff that the devil thought he was putting on you for evil. I'm going to use it as a weapon to whip the devil's pants off. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a living witness, bless God. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Am I right about it? Watch this. You see, how do you know? Watch this. I'm going to be out of here in just a minute. Watch this. God determined the council got together and said, you know what? We need somebody that, because my people are going to starve to death. There's a famine been coming. I said, what we going to do? They said, well, there's a young man down there by the name of Joseph. Why don't we use him? And God set the whole thing up so that Joseph couldn't understand. His brothers thought they would take Joseph through, and all of them stacked up against Joseph. And Joseph now, whoa, watch this now. Men, turn around and face that direction. Joseph went from the front. Now Joseph was on the back. And you know the story of Joseph. I'm quite sure in Joseph's mind, they must have wondered, why in the world am I put in a pit? Why am I sold into Egypt? Why am I sitting in jail? But it was all the setup for the terminal cancer of God. God said, I need somebody that'll go through this kind of time in their life so I can save much people alive. Because, bless God, it's not where you're at. It's where you're going. I said, it's not where you're at, but it's where you're going. I said, it's not where you're at, but it's where you're going. Amen. Watch this. Now, we're on the other end now. He'll interpret Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh walks out one day and said, Joseph, here's my ring. And that ring stood for authority. When they write a letter, they will put that stamp of approval with their ring. Joseph now is in a place of authority. He said, now, boy, you was walking. Bring out his chariot. I can see them big old horses come out with all them feathers everywhere, all that phylactery over top of them. And boy, that thing dressed down and said, and that chariot with gold. Papa had gold wheels. Hey, yeah. And boy, there he is riding all over Egypt. He's over all the land. See what God did. All of the stuff rejected by his brothers, sold into Egypt, thrown into a pit, lied on by Potiphar's wife, sitting in jail. Yet he interpreted the dream. And Joseph was in the back. Turn around, man. Now, turn around this way. He went from the back, and now he's in the front. And some of y'all been in the back, but God's about to turn around and put you in the front. And what God gonna do? He gonna take what you've been through and turn it around and use it as a weapon against the kingdom of darkness to let the devil know that there's greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Somebody help me now. Young people, listen to me. Mom and dad, you don't understand
while you're going through what you're going through. But the devil, you see, you know what? I'm going to tell you what freed me up, my man. I found out. I thought it was the devil that took me through what I went through. But it wasn't the devil. It was God. The devil thought it. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible said. Watch this. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 and 8, if he had known that when he crucified Jesus, that all this was going to come out of what he did. He said, I'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. See, he thought Jesus died when he died on Calvary. But in the mind of God, Revelation 13:8 said Jesus died from the foundation of the world. See, in the mind of God, he already had died and was buried and resurrected. Because the determined to cancel God got together. So we need somebody when man sinned to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus raised his hand, said, Daddy, said, Father, I'll go. And in the mind of God, he already knew man was going to sin. And Jesus had already died and was buried and resurrected in the mind of God. Before he ever died and was buried and resurrected, Jesus already died and was buried and resurrected. Before he died and was buried and resurrected in the mind of God, he had already died and was buried and resurrected. Before he died and was buried and resurrected in the mind of God, he had already died and was buried and resurrected in the mind of God. For he died and was buried and resurrected. Am I right about it? Watch this class. He'd already died and been buried and resurrected. So the devil thought, when he hung out there on Calvary, he thought he was doing something. He didn't know it really wasn't even him. It was God doing something. Because after it was all over, Satan looked at the whole situation and he said, if I'd have known all this was going to come out of that, I'd have never put my hands on him to start out with. And some of you, the stuff you're going through right now, see, the devil think it's you, it's him that's got you pinned down. But I stopped by to tell you, in the mind, it's the terminal counsel of God. Everything that's not, may not be good, but God's working something to the good of them that love him. And they that are called according to his purpose. And the stuff that you're facing right now, at best God, the devil think that he's got you. But I want you to know, when the devil saw 31 years ago, after all he'd done in my life, me riding the highway crying, and said, God, why can't I get help my daddy? Why can't we grow up like this? Well, my neighbor told me, said, Steele, you'll never amount to nothing. Why I had to grow up like this? God said, boy, I'm going to tell you the weeping that you're doing right now. You weeping may endure for a night, but when I get through with you, you're going to have some joy in the morning. Somebody help me now. And see what you've been through, what you're going through. God, hey, you don't know what's in these men right here, right now. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what they're going through. But God may bring a preacher out of every one of this crowd. And God, see the devil trying to put pressure on you to destroy you. Many of us that's preaching the word of God right now used to be nothing but sloppy drunks staggered down the street. Didn't even know how that we made it home. Used to be in a crack house with a pipe slipping up our nose, slipping, sucking dope. And boy, we didn't know how we got there. Some of us, some of these ladies, that could have been on the streets. Some folks have been street walkers. Now, they're teaching a Sunday school class. Now, they're singing in the choir. Now, they're missionaries on the mission field. Now, they're pastoring churches. Now, they're singing for the glory of God. Why? Because God is going to take what you've been through and turn it around and use it as a weapon against the enemy. Am I right about it? I don't know your situation. I don't know nothing about you, your situation. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it is you're facing as a young man, you grab this. You hang on to it. Come hell or high waters, don't you let go. Men, don't you let go. You hold on to this. And I'm telling you right now, It might seem like you're so low and you want to cry because your mom and daddy split up. Cause your family, you wonder why come you gotta, your mama gotta raise you, why daddy left, why mama left and left you with your daddy, why you gotta be raised by your grandparents. You wonder why am I going through what I'm going through. But I'm gonna tell you something. If God was still with you because of your situation, he'd have killed you a long time ago and took you out of here. But the fact, after all that you've been through, that you're still here, it tells me that God has a reason for you being here. If God didn't want you here, he'd have took you out. But the determinate counsel of God has got together, looked over there and saw your situation, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And God said, I need somebody. But when the mama walked off and left with the daddy, I need somebody that grew up in a drunkard's house. I need somebody grew up in a dope house. I need somebody grew up in a foster home. I need somebody. I'm gonna tell you right now, the devil may seem like he got his foot on you, but God is about to flip it around. Let you put your foot on top of him, because he made you the head, not the tail, to be above all it, not beneath. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Watch this class. I didn't understand. Walking around with all that bitterness, all that hatred, all that pain on the inside of me, I thought all the while the devil was doing all this stuff. God says, boy, give me 3 minutes and I'm done. Watch this. Watch this. Determinate counsel of God got together and said, you know what? We need a Jew to marry a Gentile bride. I need somebody. She wonder who. Oh, what about Ruth? Wouldn't she make a good one? Yeah. So we'll send a famine. Let a famine come in the land that's going to force Naomi and Elimelech down to Moab to get some stuff. They're going to hook up. The boys going to hook up with Moabite women. Then, in the midst of all, God sees this in his foreknowledge. This is not right. What God wants, but God already knows stuff going to happen before it ever happened. Yeah. So God says, I know they're going to go down there. They're going to forsake me and run down there. But let's make something wonderful out of this whole picture. So they go down there and offer. And they married her boys, Naomi's sons married two heathen women from Moab. And so now, her husband died, Malian died, Chilion, all of the boys are dead. And she said, I'm going back to Bethlehem of Judah. Well, Bethlehem of Judah, it means the house of bread or the house of God. They was already in God's house looking for bread when they already had bread. And so she heard there was bread back in the house. So Naomi said, look to Orpha. So you go back to Moab, look at Ruth. Y'all going back. I'm going back to Bethlehem. And Orpha said, I'll see ya. I'll see y'all later. She went on back. But Ruth said, I ain't going to suffer me not to leave you. Said, I ain't going nowhere. Said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. You see, God already seen her coming. She just needed a hook to get her where God wanted her to be. And so, oh, God, I feel like this is over your head. Oh, God, I'm trying not to put this over your head. Folks, can I tell you something? It's more to going to heaven than just getting saved. Somebody help me out now. There's more than the word of God than just salvation by grace. I know I'm saved. I know I'm washed in the blood. I know my name is called to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. God want me to grow. Watch this. So she comes back. So they don't have no house, don't have no food, don't have nothing. So Naomi's lost all her rights. So they're out in the field. And so Boaz, Ruth said, I'm going out in the field. Naomi said, go ahead. Went out in the field, she started picking up on the edges, getting some stuff. Them folks out there, them reapers looking at her. What is she doing out here in this field? And then, watch this. I got to hurry. And watch this. Boaz comes in the field. And here he is. He says, who is that? And they said, she's come back with your cousin Naomi. We don't know who she is. He said, throw her some handfuls on purpose. Yeah. Throw her some stuff out there. He said, matter of fact, bring her to the middle of the field. And matter of fact, tell I want to eat at my table, drink out of my cup. Oh, God. Oh, on this journey, I ain't got time to mess with that. That's a whole nother message. Well, it ain't long. Ain't long. I got you to read something. Whoa. Ain't God good, class?
Amen.
Go to the book of Ruth. I want to read you just one little scripture here. And I'm going to sit down and get out of the way and let Brother Hazel come and share what God put on his heart. Let the man of God come. But go to the book of Ruth for just one moment. Let me show you something here. And I'm done. Look at Ruth. I'm about to have a conniption, church. Whoa! Watch this. Oh, God. Ooh, help me, Jesus. Ruth chapter number 4. Watch this now. Verse 13. I want to read this down to verse 17, then I'm done. So Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. The women said to Naomi, you know, see, Boaz gave Naomi everything. He was a kinsman redeemer. You had to have the power, the authority, and the resources. He had the power, the authority, and the resources to give her back everything she lost. He says to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman. His name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee the restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, have borne him. Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. The son, this is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. And his father, which he is the father of Jesse, the father who class. Watch this. Ruth had a boy from Boaz, and his name was Obed. Naomi had the little baby. The women said, what should we call him? I said, call him Obed. You know what Obed means? Obed means worship. She said, girl, you ought to worship. You know why? Because you used to be in the field. Now you're on the field. The house is yours. The furniture is yours. The servants are yours. The dishes are yours. The place is yours. The land is yours. It's all yours. Look what God has done. You got a boy by the name of Obed, by the son. His name is Tay. And Jesse. And Jesse had Obed. And Obed and Jesse. I'm sorry. And Obed had Jesse. And Jesse had David. I hope I didn't go over your head. Now, this is some heavy stuff. This is the kind of stuff I teach at New Life. And I will tell you right now, since the first beginning of the year, we've had 26 people saved thus far and had 42 people join the church thus far. And the people of God said, preacher, we come here. We eat off of daddy's table. I said, bless God. I said, God, this didn't save us to get saved and then live and wait to get to heaven. God wants us to live while we came to get to heaven, for on our way to heaven. But if you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, and the question out your mind, I'm just trying to let you know that the determinant counsel of God and his foreknowledge is going to set, don't you throw in the towel. Because God is setting something up to bring something great out of you that you never knew was in you. I'm telling you right now, God has got his hands in this whole situation. Do you believe that, class? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. You're such a wonderful God and a great Savior. There is no God like you. You got all by yourself. And Father, I praise your wonderful name. I look all over this area. I look all over this congregation. I see Pastor Stewart. I see all these men of God. Every one of them have got a testimony of where you bought them from. And Father, you knew that that area, wherever you planted them, needed a witness. So people in the streets looked at them and saw they had nothing. A drunk, a bum, just in the street. But God, you stopped by and picked them up. And now they're standing with a Bible in their hand. And the very people that thought they'd never amount to nothing, now they stand up and talk about the King of Glory that took them out of a mess and brought them into a miracle. No wonder David said, you bought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I pray this morning that somebody will get a hold of this and realize if the princes of this world had known, they were going to be a preacher, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, a choir member. If they had known, they'd have never even messed with them, because the devil thought he was going to wipe them out. But you had a plan in your mind, because you have foreknowledge. You can already see what's going to the end from the beginning before it ever happens. This is not what you want, but you already know which way man's going. And you show the prince of darkness one more time. You may have some power, but I've got all power. So bless your people now, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.